All right. Good Tuesday evening,
everyone. How about that? We got Mr. Rob DeVore made us up a little country twang jingle for our show. That's our first night playing that. So that was pretty cool to have our own music finally. So welcome, everyone. The chat room's starting to, people are crawling in, so we're going to get going here. As always, I have to say hello. I was with her all weekend, but I've already left my lovely wife up in Virginia. I'm back in Florida. Chris, how's it going?
It's going fabulous. A bit cold, but cool.
All right. Yeah. It's. I won't tell you about the weather down here then.
No, we don't want to hear
cool,
anything
though.
Florida.
Yeah. Actually, it's been pretty. It's very humid yesterday when I got off the plane. Had thunderstorms, all that effect of the Daytona race being postponed and canceled. But anyway, so what else is going on up there? Anything good? I guess you know as much as I do. So we spent the weekend together, huh? So
we did. Got a couple of fishing reports.
All right.
Actually, some striper's been caught at the HRBT over 20 inches this past week. There's been limited action at the hot ditch. Again, hit or miss, nothing consistent, and that's about all I got.
Very cool. Yeah, I know when I stopped in at Ocean's East before we left for North Carolina that they, I guess the freshwater scene's starting to pick up. I saw a lot of people coming in, getting buckets full of little shiners from going out to do some crappie fishing, I guess they were, and I heard the perch is starting to pick up, but that's about all I heard while I was in the shop, too. So it's kind of in a little bit of a winter pattern there, even though we haven't had much of a winter anywhere on the East Coast compared to usuals, I guess. So even down here in Florida, everybody's raving and bragging about how the winter has been, and they're already doing their spring patterns that are about a month out down here. So hopefully that'll be the it'll stay like that, and we won't get hit in the end here with some big, hard winter, and the fish will get a chance to kind of creep in. Yeah, so well, that's very cool. Anything else going on? I heard you said you had some TKA news you wanted to mention tonight.
Yes, while we have some of our locals rolling in, TKA, the next meeting is going to be Friday, the 23rd of March at 7 p.m., at Appomattox at 3009 West Mercury Boulevard in Hampton. That's at their new location in Hampton. And it's going to be a rigging type of club meeting.
All right. Very cool. We can put that up in the show notes if you want to put a link. You can also go to tka.org for anybody that wants to go check it out. Yeah, go check out the new ARC location. I obviously haven't been there because I've been down here in Florida, but I'm looking forward to going and seeing that. It's a little closer to us. We don't have to go as far. That Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel sometimes is like a wall. Some people don't want to go on either side of it, but anyway, yeah, that'll be cool. So hopefully we'll get a good turnout for that. Check out rigging up your kayak. Now's the time of the year to be doing that. If you haven't rigged your boats or gotten all your gear together, better start getting it going now because, like we were just talking about, winter's slowly over what winter we've had. So before you know it, the fish will be chewing and not the time to be rigging your boat, rushing it through. So go to that meeting or check out some of your online sources, yakangler.com. I know there's been a lot of things this winter put up on there about rigging boats. So make sure you go check it out. Get your kayaks together and be ready when the fish are ready. Speaking of yakangler.com, I wanted to mention, and we talked about it last week, we announced that the Boondoggle will be in Virginia Beach. I'm not going to do a whole bunch of Boondoggle talk tonight, but the Boondoggle in Virginia Beach, you can get a lot of information off of yakangler.com/Boondoggle. It's October 5th through October 8th. If you all here did not miss it, excuse me, if you missed it last week, the Boondoggle. It's basically just a big, long weekend to go out and fish. No tournament, no fuss, no muss. Everybody hanging out, camping, hotel, whatever you want to do. Come visit us in Virginia Beach if you're not from there. October is an excellent time of the year in our neck of the woods to fish. Everything's chewing by then. We got the flounder and striper will be in, specks. Hopefully we get a good return on redfish this year, which have been kind of slow here lately. Spade, sheep's head. If it stays warm, nice summer, we might even have some coves out there. So October is always a good time of the year, and the freshwater scene's always good. I'm sure Mark Wheeler will be able to help everybody out with all the freshwater scene, because I am clueless when it comes to that. So very, very cool event. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to all the people. I listened whether they're on Yak Angler earlier this evening, and we've already got like 10 people that said they're coming, and a lot of them are from down this neck of the woods south, and I don't know how many of them have ever been to our neighborhood, but I'm really excited to have people come up and show them around our little waterway. So anyway, like I said, go to yakangler.com/boondoggle, or you can also get it off of kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle to get your information. As time rolls on, we'll be getting more and more stuff up to you as far as accommodations and things like that. So looking forward to it. And upcoming events for us, meaning us as in the region of our region, Virginia, and for Chris and I also, is March 30th through April 1st. Hopefully anybody in our neck of the woods, come by and say hi to us at the Mid-Atlantic Saltwater Fishing Expo. I'll be doing seminars there all weekend, and Chris and I will have our first landing kayak fishing service booth set up. So come on out. It's supposed to be they're really excited about this show. It's the first time, but they've already sold the whole place out, all their vendors, everybody. If you wanted a spot, you're too late now. They said that they're full, so that's pretty exciting, first-time event, and they've got a good lineup of people. Kayak Kevin's going to be up there with us also, and he's got all weekend to do seminars, so should be pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to it. It's a lot closer than driving to Green. Go ahead.
Somebody's asking where it is. To be exact, it's at the Showplace in Mechanicsville. Also, the interesting part about that is they're going to have an indoor pool set up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, they are. They're going to have an indoor pool. I'm not sure who all the kayakers was. I know Tar River is going to be there with the new canoes, and I'm not sure who else is going to be there. I know there was something happened. Appomattox was, but now they're not. But, yeah, so they're going to have a pool inside, so if you want to try to paddle some of the boats that are going to be up there. And it's not just for kayaks only. It's a big show. There's going to be a lot of saltwater captains there, and a lot of tackle, and no boat show as far as power boats and stuff. It's just going to be an all fishing event, so it's pretty exciting. And now the got a lot of people piling in the chat rooms. Hello, thank you for joining us, everybody. We got Rob DeVore. Rob, you came in a little late, buddy. You missed the music. Thank you very much for helping us out with that. Chip's here. Seth, Joe Campo, for all you guests on there, I don't know if you've tried to register, but you can log in with your Facebook account, your Twitter, or register at Blog Talk Radio, and you can participate in the chat room. So we got Redfish Chuck's here, Mr. Wheeler. We got Mr. Wheeler's on the phone with us still, too, is he not, Chris?
Yes.
Tommy V. We only got one of the Toms here tonight.
I just asked him where
Hey, Luther's here. Luther, what's going on? Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. So, yeah, you heard us talking about for the past few weeks that Chris and I were going to do a show in Greensboro, North Carolina, and we did. We had a good long weekend out there. It's a show I've done a couple times in Greensboro. It's put on by the same people who do the Richmond show and the Raleigh show, but this was Chris's first time spending a whole weekend in a booth. Long weekend, isn't it, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to figure out what to do for my feet next time around. I mean, that concrete is brutal. That in combination with the squirrel was just one heck of a weekend.
The squirrel. We talked about the squirrel all weekend. For those of you who didn't hear us talking about it last week's show, they have a water skiing squirrel there. And the big joke at the show is if your seminar happens to line up with the same time slot as the water skiing squirrel, you can pretty much count on you're going to have about 2 to 3 people in your seminar. It's a boating and fishing expo, but that squirrel, Mark Patterson, our guest tonight, he had a comment in the middle of the show. He said, the squirrel is strong, and the squirrel is definitely strong. You can't even see the squirrel if you don't get there early. It's standing room only. The seats fill up a half an hour before, which is great, though. I mean, everybody brings their kids and all, so it's something for the kids to do when they get there. So there's no – but it's pretty funny. Like I said, there's a couple things in a show like that. You don't usually want to be on the same time if there's more than one seminar going on as one of the great captains in the area or something, but – this show, you got to be more worried about the squirrel than you do any other opposing speakers at the same time, because the squirrel packs them in. I guess I got to figure out a way to get a kayak paddling squirrel in my seminars, and then maybe I could get a better draw over there. Maybe get something different, like a hedgehog. Paddling hedgehog.
It's skunk. You know, go with something outdoorsy. That'd be pretty funny.
You saying a squirrel's not outdoorsy?
I'm saying a squirrel is, but they already have a water skiing squirrel. We got to come up with our own animal.
All right. Well, we'll have to do that. We'll have to check all the laws too. And that's all I need is somebody showing up. We'll have PETA at the next show. Not only do we kill fish, but we're also got a hedgehog paddling a kayak around a pool. But anyway, so. It was a good show. We had a great time. This year was the first year they did the kayak corner, they called it. And times past, we've all just been spread out throughout the hall or whatever. But this time they put all of us kayakers together. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Probably a good thing for them, because that way they could monitor all of us and keep us under eye because we were all together. But Chris and I, we were fortunate enough. We got to work inside the Get Outdoors booth, who carries native watercraft. So you can see where we're going with that. We were able to hang out and do the speech on the native boats. They also carry wilderness, though. There was a few wilderness boats in there, but I didn't help with any of those because I didn't want to mislead anyone. I'm just joking, wilderness people. Don't get all offended. But anyway, yeah. So we hung out with Get Outdoors, and I'd like to thank Get Outdoors for putting us up and having us there, and we had a great time. Will Seeley and all the sales staff over there at Get Outdoors. It was very nice. Made us feel at home like we were one of the family from the store, even though we don't even shop there or nowhere near us. It's 4 hours away. Had a good time. It's like old homecoming week for us native people, too. Woody Calloway, Mike Hooks, Andy Zimmerman, they all come by and hang out. And native is made right down the street. I don't know, what is it, 20 minutes away or so, I guess, to the plant. So they all stop in the booth and hang out, so that's pretty cool. A good time to get to see all those people. And Corey Root was there. He had a booth directly across from us. Jerry Dilsaver, if everybody's not familiar with Jerry, I talked about him last week. Jerry was an incredible king fisherman on the King Trail. I used to see and read articles of him back in the day in Saltwater Sportsman magazine out there in those big, huge center console, three outboard engine boats flying around king mackerel fishing on the tournament's SKA trail. And now he's in a Hobie, so that's a big switch for Jerry. He went from 100 miles an hour to a kayak, but Jerry always does a great job out there. He's from the Oak Island area, does a lot of red fishing and all, so he had a lot of good seminars on reds, and it was a good weekend. Besides for walking around and seeing all the tackle, and that's always fun, too. There's a lot of good deals, but I was a good boy this time. I didn't spend too much money on tackle like I could have. That guy I mentioned last week was there again with the Paul Brown lures by Mira, that Mira Lure's making now. He had them things for $5 a piece, and they were the original ones, too. I had to go over and look at them, make sure, once again, there was no knockoffs. But, yeah, there's a lot of good deals, so if you ever get a chance to attend any shows in the off-season, which is off-season still now, there's a lot of shows going on. It's definitely worth a try to go and check them out. Seminars, like I said, learn a little something, tackle deals. It's pretty cool. And in that same Get Outdoors booth with us, we had the privilege of hanging out with a gentleman by the name of Mark Patterson. Mark is the founder and, I don't know, I guess I'd call him president of the North Carolina Kayak Fishing Association. So we had Mark pinned down all weekend, so he couldn't say no. So we asked him if he'd like to be a guest tonight. So that's our guest tonight, Mark is, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the North Carolina Kayak Club and what they got going on. So who else is in the, before I introduce our guest, make sure, Mr. Wheeler, I got you over there. Let's say hi to Mark, our other caller. Mark, what's going on, Wheeler?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, dude. It was nice to be home for a few days. Well, we weren't really home for a few days, but it was great to see everybody. But back down here in the FLA again. So, but other than that, doing well.
Good, man. Good.
Yeah. So, you said you were doing some tying some jigs or something when I talked to you before the show?
Yeah, I'm using living rubber on bucktail jigs. Trying to see if that'll give it a different action, the scent differences, and, you know, use them for cobia this year because, you know, I've got a couple that have some flake on them, and cobia like a lot of flash. They like different. They're curious creatures, and the conversation last night on Redfish Chuck's show, you know, we hit the cobia topic a little bit, and it got my brain flowing a little bit, so got a bunch of different jigs made up, you know, 2 ounce size all the way down to, I've got some quarter ounces and 1/8 ounce bucktails tied up right now, so this way I can try it for all different species and see what happens.
Very cool. Well, I look forward to seeing what you're making when I get back home. Awesome.
Definitely.
All right. Cool. All right, well, like I said, our guest, Mark Patterson. So, Mark, are you still with us? Patterson, that is?
I am, and I was thinking when you were talking about that, if I could get a NCKFA decal on the boat that pulling the squirrel, I think
we can talk price later. We'll have to talk price later. Oh, on the squirrel one. Oh, on the squirrel's boat. Oh, see how you are? You jumped in already.
Boat. The squirrel's boat, yeah, that would be the way to go.
Mark is the master of marketing at the tackle show. I was there hanging out, and next thing I know, a lady comes walking by with her stroller and the kid in there, and wham, right on the front of it's a big North Carolina Kayak Fishing Association sticker. Didn't even give the kid chance to decide if he wanted to be a kayak angler. He was already throwing stickers on the poor kid's little buggy.
The dad
that's
got
what it's
a
about.
Free hat. The dad got a free NCKFA hat out of it. It was a win-win.
Okay. Yeah, we got a room full of Marks tonight, Chris just put up. All right, Mark. Well, thank you first off for coming to the show tonight and spending some of your evening with us here at Kayak Fishing Radio. So give us a little rundown real quick. So what's North Carolina Kayak? I'm not going to keep going through the whole thing. What's North Carolina Kayak Club all about?
You can just say NCKFA, that's fine. I was always been envious of you guys up there with the TKAA. That was such an incredible organization, and the event is just, you know, if you miss that, you've really missed something. So from North Carolina, we didn't have anything like that at all. And for me, myself, I started it 3 years ago for purely selfish reasons. I would sometimes get off work and I'd have to work on a Friday or a Saturday and wanted someone to go kayak fishing with, and it was hard to find someone at the last minute like that. And then I thought, well, maybe if we had a club, I could go online and say, hey, I want to go fishing and can I meet somebody? And I kind of pitched the idea to several places, and Will, again at Get Outdoors, stepped up to the plate and said, if you need a place to have the meetings at, we'll give you three meetings here and see how it goes. And the first meeting I had three people, including myself. So, but Will was patient, and he was a man of his word. And by the time we had our last meeting, we had about 15 or 16. So I was feeling better about it, and so was he. And we've just continued to grow, and really, you know, what we've tried to do here is have an organization that reaches out to kayak anglers in the state of North Carolina So no matter where you're going or want to go fishing at in North Carolina, if you go onto our website and post up, you know, new to Charlotte or visiting, you know, Asheville, can somebody give me some ideas of where to go if you go into our newbie section or something like that, or trips, or somebody will, you'll find somebody. And that was the concept, and it's just really grown from there. We've been very lucky to have some really good sponsors and some really good friends out there to help out.
That's very cool. So with that, now where are you at in the roll call of numbers with members?
There's always a lull. I would say we're right at 1,100 now. And, again, registration is free. It's free to be a member. And we do have some events that you must be a member to participate in. So that's kind of the way I looked at it. I thought it would be easier for us to grow the club with no membership fees, but then we could go to our sponsors and say, you know, you have the potential to reach out to this many kayak anglers, and that way they would be more apt to sponsor our events. And so far it's worked out really well, and that's where we're at right now. We would have more if that squirrel wouldn't, like I say, hurt us the last day, but between the squirrel and Jimmy Price, the last seminar was a bust. I don't know what to say.
Right, very cool. So what's some of the events that you do have going on with NCKFA? You got anything coming up in the near future that anybody might be interested in?
I do. What we've got is we have, for the first time this year, we have an online tournament. It runs for 8 consecutive months starting in April. This is our first online event, and the way it works is, and I'll try to be brief, the rules are online, so please, if you want to do this, and you have to, number one, be a member of the NCKFA, which obviously registration is free, and all fish must be caught in NC, North Carolina licensed waters, because we're trying to keep it a state event. We have in April an On the Water event, which is what we call the Battle in the Borough. We do that to raise money for HAL, and Get Outdoors is always, that's been their event, and we were fortunate enough that they asked us to come on board last year and help promote it, and Will and the crew there do a great job, and we team up with them to help get the word out. So that's our Battle in the Borough event, and that's in April. We have a catfish tournament in June, Midnight Madness, Father's Day. We fish from 6 p.m. till midnight. We have a smallmouth slam on Father's Day. That's Saturday night. Yep. Because okay. We figured that would be the perfect time, so the dads could say, you know, honey, it's one night and it's Father's Day. I want to stay out late. And we have a lot of fathers and sons actually come fish that event. And it's really neat because it's at night, it's on the water. So it's neat to look out there and see 40 or 50 kayaks with their little, you know, Yak Attack lights on out there. That's really cool. I got some good shots of that on the website. Then we move into summer. We have the Summer Smallmouth Slam. That's in August. We try to beat the heat and head up on the river, the Yadkin River, get out of the heat. So we do that. And then October we have what I guess would be our big event. That's the Oak Island Classic, and you touched on that briefly. It's, to my knowledge, the only king mackerel kayak event in North Carolina. We have a king mackerel division, weather permitting. And, of course, we have the redfish, the flounder and the sea trout, and then the slam division. And then at the end of the year, we bookend it with Specs and Spots, and we raise money for Wounded Warriors with that one. And that's in conjunction with the online event, which is, it's a pretty neat format. And if you want to learn more about that, or you can go online, or you can ask me, but I don't want to, you know, monopolize the opportunity here too much.
No, you're fine, Mark. That's what we had you on for. We wanted you to get the word out, and we have a lot of listeners from all over, so some people might not be aware that there even is a club. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe nowadays with the internet and everything, but no, I'm glad that you go ahead. You touched on something there for a minute, and last night's show somebody was talking about was king mackerel fishing, and you don't hear a lot of that out of kayaks to begin with, and then I know that's what you do a lot of, so... That was pretty interesting to me because we have a good king mackerel bite right off the beach in Virginia Beach too, and not a lot of people do it in our area either. I don't know if it's just the intensity of it, or I mean, you definitely have to have your neck on a swivel out there anytime that you're in the ocean fishing for something toothy like a mackerel, let alone there's a whole bunch of other toothy critters out there that get a lot bigger than a mackerel. So, but that's pretty cool. I'd like to come down and see that tournament. I don't know how much I'd be keen on going out for the king mackerel thing either, but I had seen it and it's pretty wild. So, real quick, talk about that, just because I know we've got some listeners here who are probably gung ho to go try it. So, tell me real quick, not you know, in a nutshell,
sure,
about
it.
The king mackerel fishing.
Well, what we do here is, the way we do it is, obviously, you got to have a calm day. That's important because it doesn't do you any good, even if you can get out, surf launch. A lot of people can get out either in, you know, even in bad, rough weather, but you're just going to get beat to death out there with the chop and the slap. And if you do hook up, it's going to be you're going to be fighting the kayak more than fighting the fish. So what we do is we really, and the way this all started for me was I king mackerel fished on the ends of the piers forever there at Oak Island. And there are two piers there. There's Ocean Crest, and then there's what's now Oak Island Pier, or the town of Oak Island has bought the pier. So it was really nice. You had those two, basically I call them bumpers, that you could troll in your kayak back and forth, and you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, getting too far one way or too far the next. But what we do is we usually, the way we do it is we just watch their websites, and when they start catching them on the end of the piers, that's when we start going. A lot of people think you have to go really far out, you know, a mile and a half, but I think the longest pier here in North Carolina, and I'm not really sure, but is only 1,200 feet. So you're talking 400 yards. It's really a driver and a 9-iron from the beach. I mean, we walk further to our cars to the...
You take golf clubs with
you? What? No, sometimes just to do them. You know, we have to do what we have to do. But, you know, we're paddling out there. We're throwing gotcha plugs or live mullet or some type of spoon for bluefish, and then we're hooking them up on ready rig floats and trolling them out there behind the kayak and looking for schools of baitfish getting chopped up out there. And we simply, just like the big boats do, we troll right parallel to the schools of baitfish and then quickly turn in front of them and bring our bobber, our ready rig float, with that bait under it right in the middle of the school. And whether it's a king mackerel or a black tip shark, once you put that rig bait in front of there, he doesn't last long. So it's really exciting. They're big fish. They're fast. They put up a great fight. And if you pick the right conditions, you can have a wonderful time. What time of year are they there for you guys?
They're pretty consistent in this, like July, August, kind of part of the summer, I guess, in the hotter parts of the summer, it seems like, yeah. It's been a long time since I fished for them either. You know, you said the pier, actually, Virginia's state record for the longest time was from the pier, from like a 14-year-old kid that caught it off of the Sandbridge Pier, Little Island Pier, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, the state record for the longest time in Virginia, just like you were saying, it was very close to shore. He caught it right off the pier. So, but yeah, it's summertime, June, July and August, it seems to me. Yeah, that's about right.
Well, I've always been fascinated. In the fall, they have some of the larger tournaments. You spoke to Jerry Dillsaver before. I mean, he's won some of the U.S. the big tournaments. And I've always been fascinated that we're out there in the kayaks catching them. The big boats pull up within 200 or 300 yards of us, throw their cast net into the school of Menhaden, and catch them, the Menhaden for bait, and then run 15 miles offshore. And I always thought, you know, the bait's right here. Why are you guys wasting that much time? And we're glad to see them leave. That's nice. It gives us more room to troll. But last year, a guy caught a 51-pound king off the pier here in, you know, North Carolina. So you don't have to go that far. And but you just got to pick a safe day.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure you suggest not to do it alone either.
No, I always recommend in all my seminars, you know, take at least one person with you, you know, as many as possible. And, again, that's the other beauty of NCKFA. You type on, you go in there and click under trips or something like that, or saltwater reports that you're going, where you're going, and now, thank goodness, we have enough people that are getting into that aspect of the sport that, you know, you say, I want to meet you at 42nd Street at 6:30 or 7:30 a.m. on such and such a date, and you could have two or you could have 20 guys show up. And so there's always safety in numbers. I always recommend, obviously, you know, the rule of three, your PFD, your light, and your whistle. But also say, you know, take a VHF radio, because if you ever tried to call the Coast Guard from your phone, that doesn't work really well. But if you've got the VHF with you, you can always get them up on that.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Very cool. Well, maybe I'll come down and try that with you sometime, or we can
absolutely
have you come up our way and coming up and try it in our neck of the woods, because it's the same thing. I'd say it's the same fishery. I had done it back in the day when I still had a power boat, and I just had an 18-foot little center console, so I wasn't running offshore too far, and we did the same thing, just live baiting. Never did it. I didn't do any trolling for them, because, I don't know, trolling just gets to be a big old gas story right there, so.
Yes, it does.
Running around all day. And maybe that's why those guys, they had them big boats, they had to show them off, so they came in and got their bait, and they just wanted to, you got that much horsepower, you got to use it, I guess.
Well, you certainly paid for it, that's for sure.
That's right. So that's in conjunction with your Oak Island tournament, and then you said the other three species is just like a normal inshore slam tournament?
That's correct. So you have the option, you can either fish in the King Mackerel Division or go back on the inshore. And what we do is, obviously, if the weather's bad that day, we always put in there, you know, we're lucky enough that the town of Oak Island has been very supportive of us. And they have water rescue in the water, and our rule is you have to stay between the two piers for the king mackerel portion. And we have spotters on each pier, so if you go past the pier, you're disqualified. That way, if, you know, in the morning I got 30 guys going in the water, I got 30 guys who also check out of the water. If there's a problem, they're all between the piers. So water rescue is there to support us in that. But if there is, you know, it is conditional. If there's a small craft advisory or there's going to be bad winds or waves, if that division goes into the sound and the intercoastal. That's the beauty of Oak Island, is it has so many different areas in 3 or 4 or 5 minutes from the King Mackerel site. You can be redfish, you know, fishing for redfish, flounder, or trout. So it's a really nice area for the event, and I think we maxed it out at 101 last year, anglers, just because we didn't have enough room. But this year the town has agreed to put up some tents for us outside on their basketball courts, so we can actually, we should not have to be saying, you know, we're going to max it out at a certain number this year. So we're really excited about that. And
very
so far, cool. We've had very nice weather.
Gotcha. Yeah, weather's always a – anybody who's fished a TKA tournament, we always seem to get the lucky straw on that one. It's always doing something that you don't want it to do on a tournament weekend. But, you know, what I always tell everybody, it just levels the playing field a lot more for everyone. So – for the out-of-towners, it's just the same as the guys that live there all the time. Now it's crappy. They got to deal with it, too. So for people that travel, it makes it a little easier. We have a couple people in the chat room that I know personally have came down and fished your Oak Island tournament. Seth Goodridge is one. I think William, if he was here or not, but William's come down there before to fish your tournament. So it's making its rounds. Don't worry. Your work's not going on. Everybody's finding out about it. So you got the next one coming up, though. We got some freshwater people in here, and I had somebody ask me last night about what was going on in your neck of the woods. So the battle for the burrow, real quick, what's that about?
What we have is that's a largemouth-only tournament. We have a conventional, you know, traditional spin bait casting section, and then we have a fly division. So we have, you know, the fly guys aren't up against the spin guys. So we have the two separate divisions, and you can fish in any of the lakes here in and around Greensboro, and that will go up on our website April the 1st, all the rules and everything, and it gives you certain designated launch sites, and then you have to obviously, just like with your guys' events, you have to be back at we're having Libby Hill as our sponsor this year, so we're going to have the captain's meeting the night before and then the dinner there, which is nice. The first year we had those in two separate places, and I'll never do that again. We had to move all that stuff the day of. So now it's all in one place. So if you can find the captain's meeting, you can't say you were late because you didn't know where you were going for the photo in, as you say, at the end. So it raises money for Heroes on the Water. It's a great event. We have a couple of the local chapters that come, and they put up a booth, and they do donations. And I think this year Michelle has mentioned that she is going to do something to the effect of have like a donation box that you could come and bring gently used tackle or rods or reels or something that you, like a PFD you used to could wear when you were 20 that now you can't wear anymore at 40, but it's still in good shape to donate. And I think that's just a great idea, and we're always glad to have the Heroes on the Water sponsors, guys and girls there to help out with the event. And it's just, that's just a great program. I know you guys are really involved with that there also.
Yeah, actually our Tidewater chapter president's in the chat room tonight. He chimed up when you said how. So yeah, it is a great, great cause there. If anybody's not aware of how, you need to go check out how, Heroes on the Water. I got somebody that just came in late, had trouble signing in. Sorry about that, Robbie. Robbie, tonight we have Mark Patterson as our guest, and Mark is the president of the North Carolina Kayak Fishing Association, and he's basically just been giving us a rundown on his club and what they got going on. And it costs how much to join?
No cost at all. Registration and joining is completely free. We make our, I guess, the way we support the site, buy banners, pay for our insurance. If you don't participate in our, it's participation only. I kind of like the pay-as-you-go type thing. If you just want to go on our website and see the reviews, participate on our website, there's no charge whatsoever for that. We only make our money either through donations. We sell shirts and hats. We give away decals left and right, which are great. We give those away. And then we have our events, and that's really how we raise our money, is through our, like I say, with our online tournament. I'm hoping that's going to be a really good fundraiser for us, and that enables us to not have a fee for the website. So, and then at the end of the year, we divvy up the money to the causes that we are supporting. The Oak Island event, which I didn't mention, and I'm remiss for not doing so, that supports the Oak Island Sea Turtle Program. Oak Island is very unique in that it has one of the largest populations of nesting sea turtles left in the state of North Carolina. And they have, they actually, I don't know the technical term, and I should, but they have people assigned every morning. They walk the beaches during the nesting season, and when they see the tracks going to the nesting site, then somebody becomes a turtle mother, a nest mother. I don't know the technical term, but they build a little fence and cordon it off, and then they stay there. They sit there basically until, you know, not the same person, they rotate, but when they hatch, to ensure that the turtles get to back into the water. So we that's our Oak Island fundraising event. We donate the money to that to really help them, because, you know, that's a lot of time and effort on their part, and it's a worthy cause too, we think.
That's very cool. You know, it's funny, when I started this job down here in Florida, we are literally right on the beach, and a little sidebar here, but anyway, they have people who do the exact same thing here, and they put a little fence around it, just like you said. But here's one that even tripped me out even further, is the lights, the exterior lights on all these condos here are a 25-watt yellow bulb, and that's what you have to keep in. And it's a particular light fixture, too, that diffuses the light so the turtles don't get attracted, I guess they, I don't know. But anyway, so that when they're coming to the beach, that all the bright lights do not distract them from coming onto the sand to nest, and then be able to turn around and know which way to go because of the starlight, I would guess. So those bright white lights of the buildings would not distract them. So these are there's a bulb on this whole property, exterior, everybody, that's the only bulb that you're allowed to use on the ocean side of these $2 million condos that we're working on down here. It's pretty wild. I had no. I thought they were joking because they're like, "Don't forget the turtle lights. Don't forget the turtle lights." And I was like, "Okay, whatever." And I was like, "What is this?" And they're like, "You got to use this 25. I mean, it's a special bulb for the turtles." So that's very cool. I think that's, I commend you guys for doing that, because that's something that a lot of people don't think about. You know, we always talk about conservation, but I didn't know anything about the turtle stuff like that until I came down here. So. Very cool.
I think actually the light, and I may be incorrect, I have a degree in biology, but again, I'm not as up on this. I think the light, I think the turtles come and nest on a certain moon cycle that corresponds with
right.
the high tide, so they don't have to crawl back as far, the mother turtle. And I think at that point they use the moon, and I may be wrong, I'm sure someone in your chat room could tell us, to go back out. So they might get confused with that light maybe a little bit, but at Oak Island, to my knowledge, you can't even have the lights on. So it's a really neat experience. It's, you know, to be there at that time of year and to be out on the beach with a full moon, and there, you'd never know it was populated. And even to the effect that if you have lights on the inside, they want you to pull the shades down from the, you know, so it's really, it's a unique little community, and they're doing the best they can, and we're just trying to help them out with that because, again, we're very very conscientious of those type of things.
Very cool. Someone in the chat wants to know if the online tournament is only for North Carolina or can a Texas boy enter? And those are his exact words and not mine.
I'm afraid not. It is a North Carolina-only event. You have to fish inside North Carolina licensed waters. And the reason we did this way was because, and I'll be brief about how we're doing it, and I'd love to hear some input, and people are more than willing to, I hope to email me with any suggestions. I'm very coachable on this. But the way we did this was each month is assigned a certain species of fish from April through November. And we'll just take April, for example. That's largemouth bass. And that also corresponds, not ironically enough, but by planning, with the Battle in the Borough. So if you enter an online event and you fish Battle in the Borough, you get bonus points. So we tried to correspond it so we could get more people to come out on the water and do the water events, but we wanted them to have an online event so they could fish at their convenience. Well, during the month of April, you fish for largemouth bass. At the end of the month, whoever catches the largest is obviously the winner, and they win, sponsored by that month by Akuma, a $250 prize pack from Akuma. Second place is a GOPC Crate Buddy, and third place is a Fray Bill net. And then all through the top 10, the first place it gets 125 points. Second place gets 90, and then it's 80, 70, 60, all the way down to 10. Everybody who participates gets 5. Well, then the next month we have a different fish, and it's panfish. And that's sponsored by Get Outdoors. So you get the $250. Everything stays the same prize-wise, but the fish changes. So that at the end of the year, the eight-month run, you take your top four finishes, and whoever at that point has the highest point value wins a Hobie Pearl Angler. So,
wow.
So it's a really interesting kind of concept. The one thing that we did do that I haven't seen anywhere else done, you can actually catch a fish that's outside of the species month. And that's a little confusing, but I'll try to explain it. So it's largemouth month, but you catch a huge catfish, which is June month. You can go ahead and submit that. You don't get the prizes, but at the end of the year, you will get the points. Value for that fish where it falls, and again the rules are online. That allows the anglers to move about the state. I didn't want to overweight it to freshwater guys. I didn't want to overweight it to saltwater guys. That's why you have to pick your best finishes. So everybody has a shot. But right now we're not big enough to do a national event. But that would be nice. But if he would like to come to North Carolina and fish. We would love to have him in this online event. Now,
there's an invite.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I said, there's his invite to come visit the state of North Carolina, then pick a month that he wants to come fish at one of your tournaments, and Robbie, you come on over to North Carolina.
Now, you actually can, and this is another little caveat. You can actually just fish 1 month. Like, if he's on it, if he does come for vacation.
Right, so you don't have to be a resident of, you just have to belong and fish in North Carolina.
That's correct. And you can, instead of paying for all 8 months, you can just, it's just $20 if you want to just say, you know what, like July, it's carp month, okay? And I like to fish, I'll admit it, I like to fish for carp. You know, I call them the freshwater bonefish. So if you just were like, I'm a carp specialist, I grew up fishing for carp, and we caught a ton of them in our kayaks, and they're for someone who lives this far from the coast, they're about the largest, fastest, readily available that I can get to for fun. And if you want to just fish carp month, you can just participate for carp month, and that will be it, no big deal. So you can kind of pick and choose as you want to do it.
Cool, very cool. I had a question way earlier, and we kind of blew by it, but I'm going to get back to that. Someone was asking, they have, I believe he said it was his brother in the South Carolina region. They're trying to start a kayak fishing club, and wanted to know if you had any good tips or pointers or advice for them to help get their club off the ground.
The best advice I think I can give them is whatever paddle shop or paddle store that they work out, you know, if wherever they bought their kayak, whatever it may be, if they would approach them with a good plan and just say, you know what, I want to start a kayak fishing club. We need a place to meet. Would you give us a chance like Will gave us a chance 3 years ago? And then have the meetings with now everybody else but me, as you know, is very computer savvy. So you could set up a Facebook account. You know, it's bad. But, you know, that would, I think, be the first way to do it. But I would say if you're going to have any events, if you're going to have other than just, hey, let's all get together and go fish, please, please make sure you have some type of waiver that everyone signs, even your friends, everyone signs that says they're responsible for themselves, and consider getting some, you know, insurance to cover you just in case, you know, somebody gets a hook in the eye or some crazy stuff happens. That was the best advice I've got. Thank goodness we've not had to use it. But it sure makes me feel better when we have 100 anglers on the water that, you know, if something does go wrong, you're not liable. Because, as you know from the TKAA, you're doing the very best you can to try to put these things on and help people. And you just, you don't want to put yourself at risk trying to do a good thing. So talk to your paddle shop and then find out, you know, how to, you know, I know it sounds kind of too business-like, but it's just, I've seen too many people try to do these things and then some freak accident happen, and the next thing they know, they're like, wait a minute, how did this go from a fun event to now I'm in trouble here, you know?
Well, and that's a key point, too, and is to keep it fun and to keep the club interesting and not to make it too rigid or strict. And I think that's some of the thing that's helped TK a lot of over the years and a lot of other clubs that are still together and still lasting is to make it fun and just to make it about fishing. Don't get all political or don't get all caught up in yourselves or whatnot. You know, if you just enjoy fishing and want to fish, and that's what your club should be about. If you want to make it about something else, then you shouldn't call it a fishing club. So, I mean, you're right. To make it fun, to make everybody feel welcomed, and the paddle shop, that's a great idea. People in the room are even saying that same thing, the local paddle shop and stuff. And it's a big circle. I mean, everybody's got to take care of everybody. I say that all the time. It's a circle of us, and if everybody's paying it back, so you're right on with that too, using a local club, local kayak shop or stuff like that. We used to meet for the longest time at TKA when we first started in a little tiny tiny room in a local tackle shop. I mean, we had to stand out into the store because we'd fill the room up. I mean, we outgrew that, you know, but we always had it at a tackle shop because it was convenient. It was right off the highway, so people could come from any direction, get to the meetings, and be able to leave. And it was real close to a local launch, so a lot of times we went fishing right after the meeting. So,
I agree totally with you about you do have to be as inclusive as you can with as many different organizations, because if you're not and you get pigeonholed to I'm only going to do this or I'm only going to do that, you're really hurting the members, because things change so fast, and as you grow, I mean, that's the thing that I've realized with us. I would have never believed, never, that we would have this many members and this many events. And what I really started out and my main focus, and I think basically you and what the TKA has done, I've learned from watching you guys, I've learned from Captain Jerry, I've learned from so many of the members that are board members with us. They've always said, you know, we are about, like just like you said, we're about kayak fishing. And that way all of our sponsors get the opportunity to interact with our members, and our members get the opportunity to interact with them. And just through growing pains with the club, I mean, like now I'm meeting with our web guy once a week to update the site, to make changes, to do this, make it more interactive so it's easier, it's faster, just so people can post bigger pictures, and we're trying to figure out now how to make it so people can put video on it. I mean, the technology changes so fast, just like with your show. I mean, who would have believed 5 years ago that this would have been possible? I mean, it's just amazing, and you have to be able to stay up and innovate and, like you say, make it fun, which is why with our online event, I realized, you know, we got 1,000 members, but we only have, you know, 20% of that fished all our different anglers that fished our events. And it's because you have to make it so that the members can participate when it's convenient for them, basically. And so that's what we're trying to do with this, is make it so you can fish anywhere, anytime, and just get out there and get on the water. And that's what we want to do with the NCKFA.
Very cool. Well, Mark, I thank you. It was very good. I learned some things tonight, too. So I really appreciate you giving up your evening to join us. Everybody, go check out North Carolina Kayak Fishing Association. If nothing else, it sounds like you can definitely peruse their site and get some intel on what's going on in the North Carolina waters, both fresh and salt. If you're making a trip that way or you live close enough, then maybe you come join Mark's club and one of their fishing events. Like I said, we need to get down to that Oak Island. I know a couple of the guys in our region have came down to fish your tournament. We'll get you up to do the TKA event, and we'll come down and do your event. How's that sound?
I would love that. You have no idea how much that went to that your event up there. I mean, that's, like I say, that's, I've always said the TKA is what we want to be when we grow up. I mean, you're the Super Bowl of kayak fishing events, as far as I'm concerned, on the East Coast. You guys run a great, just a great event. Everyone who's ever done it that I'm aware of that's spoken with me, they're just like, you know, this is a first class event, and, you know, we would not be where we are without, you know, imitation is the finest form of flattery. And if we can mimic what you guys do, we're going to be all right.
Well, you ought to see some of the stuff we do behind the scenes, then you wouldn't be too... No, I'm just joking. You might change your idea on that one. Yeah, somebody just put up kudos to Wayne Bradby. And that's the thing, and the answer maybe some of the question earlier, then I'll get going here, is the other thing is, and I learned that, and I got some of my fellow jarheads in the room, the old keep it simple, stupid method. I've learned that too, and we've learned that as a club, is it's a lot better to have a few good people you can count on than to have a whole bunch of people that you're just trying to delegate things to, and it gets all crazy. We've never really, you know, went too far with having a couple people help out on events, and, you know, you get the right people in place and people that are committed and that want to see the club do well, it works good. If you get a lot of people in there and it gets too crazy and you get a lot of people that say they're going to do something and they don't, the old, you know, saying 10% of the people do 90% of the work. So it's the same thing with that. But sometimes in a situation like that, it's not a bad thing either. Because you get too many people out there doing stuff, you're chasing them all around. So find good people for that for Seth who asked the question about the club. Find good people that want to do it, and it'll follow itself if you get the right people in place.
That is so true.
We're going to wind this down. Chris, how you doing on your end? How's your chat room been tonight? You haven't been playing too much. I haven't seen too many yelling or scalding at your Tom crowd or anything.
No, the DTT is not here, so that kept it down quite a bit. So no warning, no red flag, no nothing. Yeah, he's going to be back tomorrow. I saw him post that he's doing his taxes right now. He's going to download the podcast.
Ah, so we're going to get a critique sheet from Mattel when it's all over, huh?
And you said his name. He's really going to be upset now.
Yeah, and I said it right. Yeah, well, he'll have to tune in next time, and I'll butch it on purpose just for him missing tonight. You got anything to add, Chris? Anything you'd like to talk about from the last weekend? You want to tell anybody about your, no, I guess you're going to keep it a secret about all the flounder intel you got, huh?
I don't think it's much of a secret at all. I mean, he tells it to everybody, anybody that wants to hear it, but I was dumb enough to buy some of his sauce, so we'll see about that.
He did his job then, didn't he?
I guess he did.
Anybody listening or what is it?
I'm going to want my money back in the fall if I don't catch a big flounder on that one.
We'll make sure to call Jimmy up. Chris had us sat in on a seminar with Jimmy Price. If anybody doesn't know who Jimmy is a flounder guru in North Carolina. He's even traveled with the Saltwater, am I saying this right? Saltwater Sportsman Magazine seminar schedule, which if anybody, I'm sure some people in here have heard about it before, but it's a seminar series that travels up and down the East Coast put on by the Saltwater Sportsman Magazine, George Povaroma. And Jimmy used to travel with them doing flounder seminars. The guy's a riot, funny as heck, 12 degrees outside. He always wears shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, doesn't he, Mark? You ever seen him wear long pants, Mark?
I have known Jimmy Price for 25 years. I've got my butt kicked by him on so many flounder contests, I don't even want to talk to him anymore. I've never seen him other than shorts, the Hawaiian shirt, the hat, and in the winter he'll wear a trench coat.
The trench coat, yeah, he does. It's funny as heck, because with those shorts on, you know what it looks like. You're about to get flashed.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. But he knows it's actually, what's that?
It's definitely good seminar. I mean, he kept it funny, you know, let people touch his stuff. I mean, his lures and stuff. So, I mean,
you need to edit yourself now. You need to edit yourself now.
I'm not editing that. I didn't touch that. I didn't even touch his lure.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I can see what happens when I'm doing my seminar and you let the wife wander around and take in a couple seminars.
Can we talk about the squirrel?
You're going to have to hire a chaperone for the Richmond show, apparently. All right. There's the red card. Well, you're getting cards thrown at you now.
Yeah, it's
uh-huh.
My face.
Oh, boy. Whoa, Chris. Keep it PG. Yep. All right. Chat room's on you now. School.
Can we
That's
talk
pretty
about
good.
The squirrel? Can we talk about the squirrel again? The squirrel?
Yeah, the squirrel. No, I didn't touch the squirrel. I didn't go anywhere near the squirrel. Anyway, well, very cool.
Lost control.
All right, guys, well, we're creeping up. Chris, yeah, you're getting it now.
See?
Well, we can go ahead and let this end on this. I like to end the night on a nice little. Well, again, Mark, thank you very much. Go ahead, honey. What were you going
to
say?
I'm just really regretting asking us both to do the show right now. Sorry.
No, I think we've heard worse on here. Anyway, all right. Well, again, Mark, thank you very much for giving up your Tuesday evening and spending it with you with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you very much. Anytime you want me back, I'll be glad. And when you
don't
do,
be a stranger. Yeah, anytime, man. Just call in. Tell us what's going on. Fill us in on some of those tournaments as they happen. Let us know who's winning them. What's going on? Your online tournament. But anytime we're on or anybody, just give us a call. You have the number now.
Yes, I do. You know. I can just figure out how to get on the website. That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll work on that. Mark can put on a great fishing tournament, but don't ask him to help you on the computer. All right. Well, I'm going to let everybody get going. Thank you to everybody in the chat room and all the callers, everybody who's listened in. Don't forget, you can download this on the podcast. Tune in tomorrow night. We got Mark Wheeler, the landing crew, will be on tomorrow night. Mark, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. Trying
what
to clean off
got,
my, my computer screen right now.
Ugh. What's that?
Tomorrow I'm going to, I'm not quite sure exactly where I'm going to go with it, but, you know, still trying to get back to a, to the grind from Chokoloski. But I think we might talk about, you know, some pattern, saltwater patterns for trout. Because I know I'm going to go out on Thursday. That's going to be a nice warm day, and I'm going to hit some spots that I've learned from some people in Florida and try it here and see if it works. So I'll let everyone know tomorrow. I might go out tomorrow morning, but see my pants show. So how about that?
All right. So you guys tune in tomorrow night to see what Mark's going to give you. And then Thursday, Chip's still with us. Chip Gibson on Thursday night. And Friday now, the West Coast crew is on their new time, I believe. So they will be 3 hours or so at 11 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock their time for the Wild West show with the Spike and Ike. And then you flip it back around the beginning of next week to Redfish Chuck on Monday night. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I'm going to give my real quick plug to my sponsors, Native, Astral Buoyancy. Had a great time hanging out with everybody in the Native crew this weekend. If you're not over there on the Facebook page for First Landing Kayak Fishing, go check us out, like us. When we get going on the fishing back home, we'll be definitely keeping you guys in tune on what's going on in our neck of the woods leading up to the boondoggle. So we'll be able to keep you guys informed for those of you not in our neck of the woods what's biting. It says, oh, Chip says Brittany will be on with us Thursday night from the Florida Sportswoman. Is that correct? I think that's who Brittany's with, the Florida Sportswoman. Brittany was one of the ones. I think Brittany was the one that fished with Dee down there, and she's on the Native TV show there. We the little Native clips that they've been putting up. So y'all check Chip out on Thursday night and see what Brittany's got going on. All right, with that, once again, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Chris, you ready to get out of here?
I'm ready to get out of here, and I will never say I didn't touch that ever, ever again.
I was wondering if you were still with us, if you were already.
Oh, left. Yeah, Chip is like, don't touch any strange lures.
Yeah. Yeah, you're dang all right. Don't be touching any strange lures. What am I laughing about? That's not
all
that
right.
Fun.
All right, everybody.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Tight line.
See you next
everybody.
Tuesday.
Tight line.